online, there's a book, and people can write in with questions about words and phrases. Someone wrote, "I recently read an article in the news where the writer actually constructed the following clause. It was something to be awed at. After my head exploded, I started wondering about awful, awkward, and awesome. Is awe in these words coming from some common origin, but now used to meet opposite things?" And as is the case with most of the words in the English language, there's no simple answer. The term actually comes, or the prefix actually comes from a number of different language groups: Latin, Old English, Middle English, Tall English, Short English. This is the word doctor's answer. "To be awed at may strike us as weird and ugly, but it is not, strictly speaking, any more wrong than to be frightened of or to be impressed by. The verb to awe simply means to inspire feelings of reverential wonder and or fear. It would perhaps be somewhat less jarring to say that one is awed by something rather than awed at. But considering that Americans eat 20% of their meals in their cars, we probably shouldn't be too picky." So here's a sentence for you. I constructed it just for this congregation. "I am awed by his awkwardness. It's awesome, but also awful." Awe is this interesting combination of reverence, joy, tinged with a little bit of, well, fear and trembling. It's a term that now has been cheapened a little bit by the use of awesome, as in everything is awesome. So what part of us feels awe? Mind? Brain? Someone wrote, and I'm afraid I lost the name, a bit awkward, that the mind is not only a computer that processes information, it's also a museum that stores experiences, a device that encodes holograms, a playground in which to play, a muscle to be strengthened, a compost pile to turn, a workshop in which to construct thoughts, a debating opponent to be won over, a cat to be stroked, a funhouse to be explored, and many more. Novelist Vladimir Nabokov, who wrote a number of things other than Lolita, was speaking to a literature class he was teaching. He said, "Let us worship the spine and its tingle." He advised students that the little shiver is quite certainly the highest form of emotion that humanity has attained when evolving pure art and pure science. What we know for certain is that awe is directly related to some of the most profound moments we enjoy on this planet, and also that experiences of awe at its deepest coincide with religious and spiritual experiences. So maybe the response is equally soul-based, soul-full, and soul-filled. There have been researches and studies on awe. One of them is coming out, published soon in the journal Psychological Science. Essentially, what it says is that when awe is intentionally induced in subjects by showing them pictures of waterfalls and other examples of the power of nature, people respond to questionnaires by saying that they feel more generous, they feel more like giving, volunteering. They feel less of sense that time is slipping away, and they tend to express a preferential for experiential goods, such as a $10 ticket to a movie, over material objects of identical value, such as a $10 voucher for gasoline. You might be saying, okay, well, is it truly a scientific experiment? Yes, because there's a control group. The control group is shown pictures of people being showered with confetti and other things. So I know what you're thinking. Awe is awfully good for us. The connection playing itself out with awe, awful, and awkward is intriguing. So near and yet so far. Just like Election Day. Yet every life knows this trinity of awes. A day can hold all three very easily. Several years ago, Vicki wrote a poem, and I remembered it for this service, and I've asked her to share it with us because it captures at least part of this variety of experience and emotion.
The crane. He, or perhaps it is a she, stands at the water's edge, eyes darting, head erect, an attention to detail so passionate it can't help but garner dinner. Yet long before the hungry beak finds nourishment, the crane lifts on outstretched wings, its awkward legs trailing grace across an azure sky, leaving behind a marshland so filled with fall's beauty, it seems as unprepared for the headwinds of winter as my heart was for your leaving. Mark is right. Many of our days are colored with awe, the times when the grandeur of creation catches us off guard and fills us with joy, the moments when the natural world is so beautiful it almost becomes painful. And then we have the truly awful days. The Monday mornings when we get a phone call or an email that lets us know that someone we cared about is no longer with us, that we will never again see their smile or hear their laugh or see ourselves reflected in the twinkle of their eyes. These are the times that seem most awkward. Those hours when life morphs before our eyes and gives us new reasons to cry and yell foul to the heavens. With just a slight segue within this morning's sermon on awe, I would like to tell you a bit more about Cans Around the Oval, the recent fundraising event in which many in our church participated. This campaign to raise money for food to fight hunger in Larimer County is sponsored by the students of CSU, but it is also a competition. Those participating are divided into several groups, including student housing, CSU departments and colleges, Greek life, K-12 Pooter schools, and Fort Collins community groups. Each pound of food collected equals 1 point, and each dollar raised equals 4. To better comprehend the impact our church made, I would like to share with you the following email exchange I had with Emma Martins, the CSU coordinator for Cans Around the Oval. Emma's first email arrived on Tuesday when Mark and I, like so many of you, were still reeling from the news of Rick's death. Her email said in part, "Dear Cans Around the Oval participants, because of your hard work, we were able to raise a total impact of $252. This sum is a huge increase over what was collected in 2011. The Excel spreadsheet that accompanied Emma's email listed Foothills UU Church as number one in community groups. But it also indicated something else that was quite striking. Our church not only won in our division, we were the second highest contributor overall, with only the School of Business garnering more points than we did. Noting this, I sent the following email on behalf of the church. Hi, Emma. First of all, I would like to express our gratitude to both you and the other CSU volunteers who worked so hard to support the Larimer County Food Bank. Cans Around the Oval is a fantastic undertaking by the students of CSU and a meaningful bridge between town and gown. As you may be aware, on Monday, October 22nd, Rick Gumina, a CSU professor of statistics, died on campus. Rick loved his work with the students, and I know the much maligned but frequently required statistic classes he taught. We'll miss his smile and his unique way of presenting a challenging subject. Rick was also a dedicated and active member of Foothills Unitarian Church, and with his death, our hearts are hurting. As we celebrate together another successful Cans Around the Oval campaign, I would like to keep Rick's love of statistics alive. In light of this, it is interesting to note that in 2011, our church's contribution equaled 256 pounds of food. However, in recognition of the power of cash to extend the work of the food bank, this year the very generous members and friends in our community donated 77 pounds of food and $6,400 in cash. It is worth noting that this amount not only covered $11,000 in decreases from other contributing organizations, but it allowed Cans Around the Oval to record a $16,000 increase over 2011, making 2012 the largest fundraising year in its history. As a volunteer for the food bank, I am well aware that every can, every dollar, every hour spent helping to alleviate hunger is of great value. I also know that in food drives, as well as in life, some things go up and other things go down. I am both honored and grateful that our church played this role in your very important work to help those less fortunate. Kind regards, Vicki. On Friday, as I was writing my words for today's service, I received the following email from Emma. Dear Vicki, I appreciate your thoughtful and insightful email. Foothills Unitarian Church did indeed make a significant impact on the success of this year's Cans Around the Oval, and I want you to know how very much we appreciate your support. With regard to Rick Gumina, it seems he was an important part of not only the CSU community, but your community as well. Would you like to include a dedication to him on the award plaque we will make to Foothills Unitarian Church? To which I replied, Dear Emma, Rick held as a core value helping those less fortunate, and so your offer to include him on our plaque is a perfect way to honor his presence in the Fort Collins community as a whole. Thank you so very much for your kindness. In faith, Vicki. I look forward to receiving our plaque from CSU and hanging it in the social hall. Yet this past week, the news of our amazing food drive accomplishment was tempered by the death of a friend. And it was this juxtaposition of pride and sorrow which reminded me that awful moments always turn us from one reality and force us to face another. Still, I think it may be in the awkwardness of this turning that a path to our better selves can be found. When joy and anger, grief and love commingle, they stamp our hearts with the knowledge that we are in this fragile, awful, awkward, awe-filled world together. And it is because of the intensity of our feelings that we become better prepared to be of service the next time we are called upon to be compassionate. If we are lucky, the grace of time will allow us to turn back from the awful moments of our lives, whatever they may be. We may feel awkward in doing so, but there is comfort to be found in knowing we are not alone, that the chance to be filled with a different kind of awe will always come again. Please join me as we sing our closing song.